a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello? Hello? Yes, it's us. Welcome to another Confessions podcast brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. And everyone appears to be in their customary position. For example, Sister Susie, where are you?
I am in the pub.
Brother Matthew, where are you?
I am right here.
But where is that?
Right here is where I am. Where am I?
In the gutter.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the gutter.
You know where you are.
Yes, of course I'm in the gutter. Yes, true. Well done. And
Sister Holly, where are you?
I'm in front of the tat cupboard.
There you go, you see? Everyone knows where they are.
Good.
This week it's the Confessions from the Crypt special, where we head into the parish vault and unearth some of the great confessions from the past. These are stories that rattled the confessional doors the first time around, and they deserve another outing in the candlelit gloom of the crypt. We'll also be popping over to the parish notice board to see what grabbed our attention this week. And of course, no podcast will be complete without a peek at the latest goings-on in the totally squalid, not for broadcast, Mark Knopfler section, which is really scraping new depths. But torch or lanterns at the ready, let's head down the stone spiral staircase of the crypt for this.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession is utterly reprehensible and comes from Bob, not my real name. Thank you, Bob, not my real name. Father Simon and team, the shameful incident for which I must shoulder full responsibility occurred some 30 years ago. In the hope that ample time has now passed and nobody will be able to connect with, or hopefully even care, about what occurred on the fateful day I'm about to recollect, I will now begin to unburden my guilt in the hope that perhaps forgiveness awaits. The scene is set in the mid-1980s. Being one of the first to establish myself as an engineer in the private sector, newly private sector, competition was light and early successes were surprisingly rapid. Within a year, I had 4 employees and enough work to keep us very busy indeed. The day I'm about to describe involved an installation of a 7-extension telephone system in a newly refurbished premises in a pleasant suburb of London, known best for a hill and a school for up-and-coming toffs. A family business that had served the community for many years, it had recently been taken over by the owner's daughter upon his retirement. She'd done a very fine job, and the place felt most welcoming and comforting, which was idyllic considering her line of business, because we were working for the local funeral directors.
Ah.
Yes, that's where we are.
Okay.
The owner's brief was simple and straightforward. I want a nice, neat job, and I don't want to see any cables. Fortunately, the building layout and design allowed us to do, as she asked, with little difficulty, and we were on target to be completed by 5 p.m. when they closed for the day. There was only one extension that looked as if it could cause problems, as we couldn't fathom a route that would keep the cables hidden, as she wished. Eventually, we realized that there was a room that we had initially missed through which the cable could run unseen. The room consisted of shelving either side, which held stationary items, and a workbench at the far end, which traversed the room and was supported by batons on the side walls. Our cable was to run under the bench, but access was somewhat cramped. One of the lads, then came up with an idea. He had noticed the bench was only secured by 2 screws, and there was sufficient baton to slide it forward and allow enough space to climb over and work unhindered. I told him to go ahead. Anyway, he pulled the bench forward. With the technique of a budding gymnast, he launched himself up and swung his legs round and dropped himself over the back and was already busy pulling the cable through. Sadly, as the legs swung round, he managed to connect with a pile of small cardboard boxes stacked on the end of the bench, which then fell to the floor in front of me. The boxes reminded me of the sort used years ago to send out slices of wedding cake in the post. You know the kind. Interestingly, when stacked, they were each separated by a piece of gummed paper.
Yeah.
As the boxes fell to the floor, these pieces of paper slowly fluttered to the floor also. Cursing him for his carelessness, I proceeded to pick up all the boxes and gather up the pieces of paper. It was then I realized the gravity of my situation. Each purposely printed label had already been neatly handwritten, with the name of a deceased under a caption that read, "This box contains..." Mm-hmm. I'm certain I need not add the words that followed.
Yeah.
At this point, I had to make some quick decisions. I thought the decent thing to do would be to own up and face whatever music would follow.
Okay.
I then thought that actually the horse had already bolted, and even the funeral directors won't be able to know which label belongs to which box. Clearly, it was a case where honesty was not likely to be the best policy.
Yeah.
So I callously stacked the boxes back where they'd been, placing a random label between each of them. Nobody need ever know, I thought. Everyone will believe they have the correct last remains and will take comfort accordingly. As near as makes no difference, it was akin to a victimless crime.
Okay.
Also, we thought, until about 10 to 5, a very nice lady entered the reception. The funeral director knew who she was, since they'd been making arrangements for her recently deceased husband's funeral. It appeared that her husband had been an ardent sailing enthusiast and had kept a yacht on the River Hamble. The family planned to take the yacht out onto the Solent, an area that had provided so much pleasure to her husband over the years, and once underway and were well clear of other vessels, open a bottle of his favourite wine and then toast his ashes before committing them to the deep. The funeral director then went to the stationery cupboard, checked through the labels and removed the appropriate box from the pile. She handed the box to the lady, who gave it an affectionate little pat and popped it into her handbag, offered her thanks, and left without further ado.
Okay.
For over 30 years, I've been asking myself, was this really the victimless crime we had portrayed it to be? Is this sorry episode worthy of absolution? Am I perhaps responsible for 8 lost souls being unable to pass happily to the other side, knowing their last mortal remains to be in a totally inappropriate place, not of their choosing? I don't think it quite works like that. Unless you are... Although, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Unless you are overflowing today with an abundance of mercy and compassion, I fear forgiveness will not be forthcoming, and I must live with the burden of this guilt until my dying day. I throw myself on your mercy anyway, and I just wait to see what's going to happen. Well, let's find out. Bob, not my real name. Sister Susie, I could tell, is slightly shocked.
Oh, Bob, I am. I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked. Now, what I will say is, how do you know that the funeral directors weren't able to identify them? They might have had another system like they you don't know about, and that you didn't give them the chance to do that.
I'd love to know what our system is.
But then you don't know. You don't know. There might have been one. Because, you know, what if that had happened before? Uh-huh. Maybe they had a way of working it out, and for that reason you didn't tell them. I can't forgive you, Bob.
Brother from another gutter.
Well, once again, it's the system that's a problem. If you're going to have boxes with the bits of paper next to them, you should be attaching the bits of paper to the box if it's that important. What if there'd been a breeze? What if a little dog had got into the room and wagged its tail all over the boxes? And for that reason, I choose to, because it could have happened to anyone. Could have happened. And after all, no one could tell the difference anyway. They're all in a box. That's the way we all dust to dust, etc.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Roger. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, we must now go back to the 1970s, a very different time for many. I was primary school age and at home. We had a television with a meter on the side.
Oh.
It was a rental television, and you put 50p in if you wanted to watch something.
Of course, yeah.
Wow.
150p would give you a timed view. TV use had been budgeted, and Mum had a pile of 50p on the box for daily views of our permitted watching. We all enjoyed the TV, so it was a treat to have the box for entertainment on dark evenings.
Of course.
If you wanted to watch the programme, you had to put in 50p in the box. In our home at this time, if a child was ill, they remained at home and a neighbour checked on them, or Mum came home at lunchtime, or you just remained inside the home in your pyjamas and got better.
That's the way we treated
illness. The doctor would even visit, knowing the key would be on a string, which was just through the letterbox. A very different time indeed.
Very.
I was gifted a childhood of several sickly times, and I was known for this by the doctor. I had many days at home with the television and no supply of funds for wasting on daytime viewing. See, even then, you didn't want to waste your time on daytime viewing. I had exhausted my books, dotted everything I could, finished all the math sheets, scrubbed the kitchen cooker, the entire house actually. I studied ants on new overhead lines that entered the property. I drew pictures of damp patches on the carpet and mould on the shower curtain. Anyway, you get the picture.
Yeah.
I dreamed of being able to watch the Hollywood afternoon film that would be shown on the TV. But how could I get the TV to work without having any money? If it wasn't Penny for the Guy or Christmas Carol singing, we had no way of earning money in those days. This is a very period piece, this one is. There was no TV budget for a sickly child, but my plan was the perfect answer. I've never heard of this being done. Okay, I pressed each coin into soft plasticine. I popped that in the freezer for an hour.
Wow.
I would then take out the 50p coins, return the coins to the meter box, ready for permitted viewing, and then filled each plasticine indentation, each mold with water, and popped the block back into the freezer. When it came out, I got a frozen piece of ice, obviously,
of course,
shaped like a 50p. It slotted nicely into the push-turn mechanism, dropped to the box, bang.
Wow.
I had the power.
Oh, I see.
Weeks and weeks of Elvis, Fred and Ginger, Gene Kelly dancing in the rain, film after film. It's beginning my adoration of Barbra Streisand was right now with my frozen 50p's, all funded by my ice currency.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone came in to check on me and the TV was on, I would say, oh, it's just a little bit left over from yesterday. It'll probably go off in a minute. And then load another ice coin into the machine. I was a genius. So proud of myself. A new currency and more reliable than cryptocurrency and safer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
So then I told my brother, and he enjoyed some extra viewing too, before Mum got home from work. It was turning into a sweet deal. That is, until the man who empties the TV box arrived.
Oh, dear.
Mum had even warned me he was coming before leaving for work. If he leaves any extra 50p for us as a rebate, you can have two, she called out as she left for work. Well, the TV man turned up. He opened the box. He looked inside. This is strange, he said. Is it, I asked, is there any rebate? He went into the kitchen and I followed, thinking he needed the table to count all the 50p coins on from the usual viewing. He poured the contents of the box into the sink and I watched as what looked like pints of water, followed by just two 50p coins, real coins made of metal, flowed into the sink. Oh dear, I said, is that usual? I had to avoid discovery by playing it cool. Does the TV produce water as a byproduct of the electrical charge and the TV rays and the satellites and the telescopes?
Yeah.
I wasn't that good at science. No, was the reply. This is very unusual. And no, water is not a byproduct of TV rays. A long pause while the man thought over every possibility. I'd already worked it out. I'd loaded too many 50p coins made of ice. Yes, I think we got that,
yeah,
Roger.
Yeah.
I guess he'd worked it out too because he said, it looks like we need to take your TV in for repair. Curses. It was all over. The TV man took away my film viewing box, replaced it with a nice new one that broke the ice before it turned the coin.
Oh,
progress is not all it's cracked up to be, Father Simon. I was too young to know if Mum was blamed or not, but I expect she was at some level. But it was all me. Am I forgiven? Well, let's just find out, because I think probably people will be looking on you in a generous state of mind, Roger. But let's check in with Sister Susie. What do you make of Roger's television 50p ice confession?
Well, Roger, what I have to say first is obviously water and electricity is not a good
very
mix.
Good.
So that is, first of all, be careful and don't do what Roger did. Not that you can with a meter telly now. But I have to say, I think I'm going to forgive you, Roger, because, you know, all the things you did when you were ill, plus the confidence you had when the meter man came over, that alone deserves forgiveness, I think. So from my book, apart from the slight danger, I forgive you.
Just the feebleness of the mechanism which would thought a 50p coin made of ice was actually proper currency. Brother from another gutter.
I mean, obviously, we go along with what Sue said about water and electricity. That said, what amazing ingenuity that was.
Yes.
Being able to come up with that plasticine in the freezer and then water in the mould and then it becomes ice and then stick it in the telly. Oh, fabulous. I'm going to forgive just for the line, is that usual?
No,
not really. No usual at all.
People's what are you?
Yeah, so I'm going to forgive. Very naughty, but ice.
Okay, all right.
That's why I forgive.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Now it's just time for a little bit of parish business at the notice board. And Matt, do you I know what the answer is, but do you have any five-star reviews ready to go?
Yes, I do, as it turns out, have five-star reviews ready to go. Justine, normal name, says, five stars. I can't tell you how excited we are that you're back. My generation at work is truly enjoying educating our younger colleagues, a la Holly. Six stars.
Six stars.
We have spent years enjoying reminiscing about a confession where someone's parrot, who kept saying the word spanky.
Yes, I remember.
Yes,
that, yeah.
Okay. It had us laughing for years as we gave it to my elderly father-in-law to listen to. Sadly, he'd lost his eyesight and as a result was not as well attuned to those around him as he might otherwise have been. Perhaps we shouldn't have let him listen on headphones while travelling on the Eurostar. Our French cousins were somewhat bemused by my father-in-law's spluttered laughter and a loud spanky. In a Yorkshire accent, he listened to it repeatedly. So this went on for some time.
It's one sentence.
That is amazing. Justine, goodness me. We'd love to hear it again. Keep up the good work. And Holly, Matt's right. Lying is mostly fine. Mostly fine. Was the parrot spanky, was that from this
I think that was
parish?
From other shores.
From other shores that we do not mention. Aid says, five stars. Love it, five stars. Been listening since the early 90s. Our last enjoyable link to home, Aid Bedford, exiled Brit in Florida.
Right, okay, ooh, where everything is so great.
It's going so well there. Jeffrey says, five stars. Me and my son love listening to this podcast. Nothing but five stars. My favourite is the not for broadcast section. It's always very funny.
It's very good. If you have, actually, we haven't had a sweary parrot confession.
Oh, that's true.
For a while, yes, but yeah. If your parrot has caused embarrassment, we would love to hear from you. Susie, what notice do you have from your angle there on the notice board?
Well, I've got one here from my angle that I can see that I think Holly's going to really, really like. And it says, hey, Holly, Susie, Simon and Matt.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. That's very what we like.
Good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My name is Tiffany and I love your podcast. I don't usually like choosing favourites, but since the rest of the nation has chosen Matt, I'd say Holly is my favourite.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Wow.
Love
and
it.
She is so sweet and kind and funny. I personally think she's underrated.
No.
Underrated.
Stop it. Stop it, Tiffany.
Yes.
That's so kind.
More from Tiff. More from
yes,
Tiff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I still love the others. Susie, I think you're very sweet and you keep the podcast grounded. Mm-hmm. Also, I love the fact you have a pub.
Yep. Very
nice.
True. Mm-hmm.
Simon,
hello.
Thank you for making the show so amazing and for keeping up the accents. And Matt?
Yes.
I love your sense of humour and the way you always manage to find a reason to forgive everyone.
So true.
But I have to say,
yes.
You're allowed not to forgive once in a while.
Well, I have. There is, famously, I have not forgiven once.
That was the one where the mother
abandoned her children?
Yes, didn't pick up her kids from school because she'd gone to Canada for the rest of her life.
And I struggled then to find forgiveness. But don't we all, in a way, need forgiveness? I think we do, don't we?
Yes. Not all the time. Anyway, Tiffany carries on. I've been listening ever since my dad introduced me to the podcast when I was 4 years old. I'm nearly 16 now. While other kids were listening to Disney soundtracks, I was listening to you guys.
Excellent.
I was also the kind of child who re-listens to everything, so I have a lot of the confessions memorised and could probably recite
them. Fantastic.
My dad still finds it funny that one time I walked up to him and asked him what a Mr. Happy was.
Confession.
Yeah, that would have been good.
So as a long-term listener, I was wondering if I might be able to get a mug and maybe a signed note from Holly.
Oh, aww, this is very, very
wow.
Going very well so far.
Good.
Apart from the comments about
all,
me.
Yeah. Thank you for making my childhood what it was. I honestly wouldn't be the same without your podcast. Love from Tiffany.
I love the fact that Tiffany is clearly, she, never mind learning poems by the great poets, she has remembered our confessions and can recite them word for word. So, Holly, as you've emerged very well from that email, I think some tat, is it okay for Tiffany?
Well, I thought she expressed herself incredibly eloquently, actually. She's obviously a very, very bright 16-year-old lady. She's got it. She's a great gal. Big fan. Big fan of me. Big fan of her. It's all great. And so, yes, absolutely. We'll send her a signed postcard. And it'll be signed by all of us, though, not just me, because that would be I mean, I know it's what she's asked for, but obviously it's got to be all of us. And a mug as well. So it'll be very cool, very epic.
So the only way, so this is quite interesting. So if you want to get some stuff, if you follow Tiffany's, keep your additions to the parish notice board coming. We do love them. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. There's no point in praising anyone else.
No.
We're
not in charge of anything. Yeah.
No, exactly.
Okay. But Tiffany, thank you. We like you very much. And what a great education that is. Okay, now let's head down to an even darker staircase. This is the corner of the crypt for the Not For Broadcast section, where Mark Knopfler plays his guitar and we all enter. And I mean, I'm gonna have to I can't read all of this out. Big Baz, I mean, I don't know why you emailed in, really. Yeah. It was just a night out. You drank too much. You sang Living on a Prayer. You had a wee on the wall. And then you
inside?
Walking down the street.
Oh, we had a wee on the wall in the street.
As a waz on a shop.
Shop?
All right. No, it's someone's house.
On someone's house?
That's getting worse. Bad,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then a little bit of vom. So, big, I mean...
Mind you, that's just a
vommed in someone's Uber.
And then also...
He vommed on the Uber as well?
Yeah.
This is getting even worse.
So this is just, I behave terrible. It's not really a confession because there's no comedy in that, is there?
No.
There isn't.
And Sam, we've said this before, but any confession that involves the Mile High Club is just not. I mean, I can't imagine how that's ever going to get on.
No, it won't.
We can talk about Mr. and Mrs. Happy, but we can't talk about the Mile High Club.
No, that's so
Mrs. Happy.
Yes.
Well, yes, I mean, I'm just extending the metaphor.
Okay.
I'm not even sure. I'm going to stop there.
The confession in question is Mr. Happy and the Wasp. And basically, a guy is in the bathroom and the wasp lands on his Mr. Happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife picks up a towel and flicks at the wasp, but misses the wasp and...
Who came up with the term Mr. Happy?
I think that's Mark Kermode.
Yeah.
Do you want to choose another one?
Do feel free to spitball some names.
Let's do it right now.
The only thing it spoils is the Mr. Men books.
It
does.
So there's a problem there with that particular Mr. Happy. But Mr. and Mrs. Happy is just a very easy way of sometimes, you know, not saying, I mean, unless you want to use the biologically correct terms.
That might be a bit much at tea time. So.
Guess there's a different rating as well.
That's enough of that. Back into the crypt.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Okay, gather round. It's confession time. Come on, kids. Come in from outside. Today's smart speaker is given to Alan, not his real name. And you know those confessions where I'm reading them and you go, oh, God. Where is this going?
Okay, is this one of those?
No, it's not.
Oh, right.
Okay.
This is not one of them. Dear Saintly Simon, Holy Holly and Almighty Matt, this confession dates back to the summer of 1983 when my brother and I were not even 10. My sister was just 16. My mother had made plans to go away for 4 days.
4 days?
Leaving my sister in charge of us boys. Worried that we'd trash the place in her absence, my mother thought it would be a good idea to give us a job to do. We could work together as a team, bond, and thus keep ourselves out of trouble. She bought a large tin of pink paint, 3 brushes...
Okay.
3 brushes and asked us all to paint the main wall in her bedroom behind her bed. An easy job to keep us out of mischief and said, don't get paint on the carpet, and then off she went.
Unbelievable. Right, okay.
Problem was, Father Simon, we figured this painting job would take days. And all we wanted to do, as Sheryl Crow would say, was to go out and have some fun. My sister even planned to spend the entire time at her boyfriend's house, which was fine by us. Anyway, I came up with a plan. In those days, my mother had an ancient, industrial-sized vacuum cleaner. It was very powerful, with a noisy motor, and it had a useful suck-and-blow facility.
Oh, no.
We all hated this machine, It sounded like a high-powered lawnmower and weighed a ton. My mother loved it and would often hoover early on a Sunday morning, deliberately waking up the entire house. I came up with the idea that if we fill the drum of this machine
of course.
With the pink yep. paint
yep.
and put it on blow mode, we could simply spray the paint onto the walls and then just touch up the sides and edges with the brushes.
Be fine, yeah.
We would have the whole job done in an hour.
Yep.
What could possibly go wrong? For some reason, and without question, we all agreed this was the best plan. I set about carefully pouring the 10 litres of bright pink paint into the drum before securing the heavy motor back on top with the big metal clips. My sister took hold of the nozzle with both hands, and in the stance of a highly trained firefighter, she stood legs apart, leaning back slightly, ready for action. I told her that as soon as I turned it on, she should gently spray from side to side.
Gently.
You know, to get an equal coverage on the wall.
Make sure of that.
A short countdown and then I pressed on. Press the button. Oh my. What can I say, Father Simon? At a speed of around 100 miles per hour, the paint in the drum came out with such force, my sister never stood a chance and she lost control. The nozzle snaked violently around the entire room for what felt like an eternity, spraying thick, bright pink paint into every corner. There was not a single thing in the room that didn't get a covering. Turn it off! Turn it off! My sister shouted. But it was all too quick. Within about 10 seconds, the paint ran out and the machine died a death. Thick smoke bellowing from the top. We all stood there in total shock. We were all pink from head to toe, too scared to laugh, too scared to cry. Barbie would have been proud. My mum was going to go ballistic. She told us not to get paint on the carpet. Well, now look at it. As you can imagine, any attempt by us kids to clear it up was totally futile. We just smeared paint around. We decided to just close the bedroom door.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah.
My sister hid at her boyfriend's house and we waited for World War III to begin when Mum got home. It was a very long weekend. Well, Father Simon, needless to say, when she did arrive home to the scene of utter destruction, albeit in a nice shade of pink, she hit the proverbial roof, which also was pink, by the way.
I'll bet.
My brother and I frantically pointed the finger of blame at my sister, as she was the grown-up after all, age 16. She really should have known better, don't you think, Mother dearest? So, Simon, I wish to seek forgiveness, mainly because, says Alan, it was all my idea. But my sister did indeed take the blame, ha-ha, and was grounded for quite some time after that. And as a result, her boyfriend found someone else to go out with. Thankfully, my brother and I got off scot-free. Thank you, boys. Oh, and sorry to my mother for destroying her bedroom. Thank you, Father Simon, and keep up the forgiveness. It has a certain cartoon quality to this, but I've never heard of an industrial hoover like that, which would do suck and blow. Anyway, you certainly shouldn't fill it up with pink paint.
No.
Sister Holly.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, the thing is, mums do so much for us. They're just fantastic, really. I think they're just the best. They're just always there. And then you ruined her bedroom. Ruined it with all the pink paint going everywhere. And you broke her favourite vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
I mean, really, very, very bad. I know you were very young, but it was a stupid idea and you should have known better. So not forgiving.
Brother from another gutter.
You know, I'd be minded not to forgive just because, well, I don't see why big sister gets A, all the blame, and B is getting dumped. Why is she getting dumped by your man just because of what happened with the paint?
She's grounded.
I mean, it's not on at all, really. Also, why is Mum deciding, oh yeah, I'm going to leave you with one job, which involves paint and my bedroom, and thinks that's a great idea
for
these
away for 4 days.
Kids? I mean, what's going on there? Also, what is it about vacuum cleaners that's got a blow function? The problem there is the system. It's the system that's at fault, nobody else. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Now, today's tale comes from Artie. A 12 certificate contains 70s attitudes.
Oh, does it really?
Oh,
yes,
dear.
Which he does apologise for when he gets there.
Okay.
And actually, in context, anyway, let's just see, shall we? Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother Matthew, my confession takes place not too long ago. In fact, it was 2021. You see, 2020 should have been a year to remember for other reasons than the pandemic, as it was the year of my 50th birthday and our 25th wedding anniversary. We had so much planned, holidays, events and celebrations, most of which were obviously cancelled. So you can understand that when restrictions started to be lifted in 2021, we took the first chance we could to go away on a holiday. It was a hassle, COVID test before we went, temperature checks at the airport, test before we came back, but we were determined to get a week in Spain. All went well with the tests and we arrived early on the first day, so planned to stop off at a small cove for a couple of hours on the way to the accommodation, which also had a snack bar for lunch. We arrived at the beach and it was a lovely cove. The beach bar was thankfully open. The only surprise was the dress code on the beach was quite casual. Mm-hmm. Let's say, with many people not bothering with swimming costumes at all.
Okay. Cool.
But obviously we kept ourselves out of the way of that kind of thing at the back of the beach, so it wouldn't be a problem. So we have a rule in our house, is where the 70s come in. So we have a rule in our house, which is man does beer, woman does food. Let me explain. Yeah. I know that sounds sexist, but it's not. It is just that my wife hates standing at a bar trying to order a drink, and I hate standing in a cafe queue behind someone who can't decide what to order. So it suits both of us as the best way to divide up the labour. So, it was time to order a cheese and ham toasty. In accordance with the rule, my wife went up to the snack bar to order.
Okay.
As she approached, the man behind the counter waved a finger at my wife, mumbled something, and pointed down and up. My wife tried to order, but the man got even more agitated, waving her away to the point where my wife just backed off and returned to me. He won't serve me. He just keeps waving his finger and pointing down and up.
Okay.
I looked across to the bar and saw a man with no clothes on being served. I know what the problem is, I said. They must have rules about no swimwear. Look, there's a man being served at the moment. The bar owner must have been pointing to your bikini. You've got to be joking, she said. You'll have to go. I'm not going. You know the rules. Women do food, I do the beer. Anyway, off you go, I said. You can't change the rules now after 25 years. I can't believe this, she said. She reluctantly took off her bikini and headed back to the snack bar.
Right.
As she approached again, I could see that she attracted the same response. A wave of the finger and the man pointing up and down and motioning for her to back away. At that point, my wife really started to panic. She removed her flip-flops and felt for her necklace, obviously assuming this dress code was extremely strict and that was what he was pointing at. Thankfully, a man who had joined the queue behind her and, incidentally, had his shorts on, stepped in. Madam, he said, your face mask is around your wrist. You need to wear it on your face when ordering food in Spain. He is pointing at your mask and your face.
Oh, no.
My wife quickly slipped her mask off her wrist and put the mask on. She was wearing something. She received a thumbs up from the bar owner and returned to me red-faced, well, most of it, and two lovely toasted sandwiches. I was hoping she might have got me a beer as it was the first day of the holiday, but probably a little much to ask in the circumstances. So, Simon, as you can imagine, I apologised many times over the week of the holiday, but I once again beg forgiveness from my wonderful wife, who has finally allowed me to tell this story, as I failed to notice the man was being served not due to his state of dress, but the fact that he was wearing a face mask, which I guess I can understand someone being distracted and not noticing that. But anyway, I didn't see it coming. Let's see what Sister Susie makes of that.
Oh, Artie, I've just got an image in my head now of a man with no clothes on, but wearing a face mask. Just
yes,
amazing.
And then, but then also Artie's other half decided, yes, that she was so hungry, she would indeed remove her bikini.
Well, yeah, I do wonder, you know, was that the only snack bar? Was there not anywhere else she could get a toasty sandwich which didn't involve taking off all your clothes off? Always stay hungry, yeah, why not? Very, very funny. I just think those were times when you know, thinking back, you don't know that wearing a mask and having to put it on before you went anywhere and all of these things, they were new to us and no one knew. So I do feel sorry for his wife, but I don't feel sorry for Artie. And, you know, she didn't get him a beer because he gets beer. That's the rules.
Correct.
And, you know, either stick to it. But I'm going to forgive just because it was very, very funny.
Brother from Another Guy.
It's very good. It shows how many of these confessions we've done. Literally, the point where you said Cove, I thought, nudist beach, here we go. This Short is hand. What it's going to be. So yeah, I agree with Suze. She had no business having to get the beer because, of course, that was his job. But I'm going to forgive just because she took off the flip-flops. I love the fact that she went, oh, obviously the flip-flops are the problem. Right, get rid of them and the necklace. Now I can get a toasty. Definitely forgiven.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
That's it for this week's Confessions from the Crypt special, and how special it was. Hope you enjoyed this moral stroll down a dodgy memory lane. If anything has stirred in your confession archive, that's the word, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Matt, do you want to add a bonus catchphrase based on anything?
Yes, my bonus catchphrase this week is Mr. and Mrs. Happy. There you go, Mr. and Mrs. Happy, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the bath or the shower and leave us a glowing 5-star review. Be back next week with a fresh bunch of brand new confessions. But for now, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly, now elevated and full of loveliness, says...
See you later, alligator.
And from his gutter, Brother Matthew stirs himself to say...
Goodbye!
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.